1 Thessalonians 2, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. If you're able to stand, 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. And if you turn back to Acts 17, Brother Steve, I should have given you this passage as well. Acts 17, verses 1 through 9. Acts 17, verses 1 through 9. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Let's pray. Father, do you thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather together this evening. And thank you, Father, for a beautiful week that you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you for the singing that we've done tonight and for the special in song. And Father, we thank you for the truths that are in those songs. We thank you, Father, for the visitors tonight. And Lord, I pray you bless your word to our hearts. Father, I pray that we would leave here tonight with a greater understanding of your will for us and how we can apply your word to our lives. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, as we look back at 1 Thessalonians 2, we're going to look at maybe half of the message this evening. And really just focusing in on one phrase in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13, when Paul said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So that phrase there, when you received the word of God. And tonight we're going to just look at that. We're going to look at the rest of the passages, rest of the verses next Wednesday. But just tonight, looking at the reception of the Word of God. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important it is that we receive the Word of God. As saved people, that we receive the Word of God, and as when we are lost, how important it was that we received the Word of God. If we look at Acts 17, we see those that received the word of God, as Paul describes them here in our text. But we also see some that did not receive the word of God. And what a difference there was between those two. In Proverbs 4, verse 10, Solomon said, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." That ought to be our desire when we hear the word of God preach that we receive God's sayings, that we receive his word. It ought to be our desire when we open up God's word that we receive God's word, that we hear what he has to say for us, to us. In John 17, verse number 8, he says, "I have given unto them," this is Jesus praying to the Father, "for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Speaking of that first church there, they received the words from Christ. And Paul told the Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received." They're in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. We consider receiving the word of God, what's necessary for the reception of the word of God. And the first thing is that there's a preparation of the heart that receives the word. There's a preparation that's taken place. And first of all, there's a preparation that the Spirit does. We see a lot of instances of that in the Scripture. If you want to turn back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, when Peter was preaching there on the day of Pentecost. We know the end result of that. Thousands were saved and added to the church there in Jerusalem. But it says in verse number 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in the heart. The same thing happened with the Philippian jailer, if you remember in Acts 16, in verses 27 through 30, when the keeper of the prison awoke out of his sleep. This was after the earthquake. He woke out of his sleep and all the prison doors were open. The Bible says that he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now that trembling and that fear, there was not because of the earthquake. he's been sitting, lying in bed probably, hearing Paul and Silas praising God and singing. And then the earthquake took place, and God had done a work there, but the Holy Spirit had been working in his heart. In Acts 16, verse number 14, earlier in that day, when Paul was preaching along the riverside, it says that a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. How important it is that our hearts are prepared by the Holy Spirit. Preparation of the heart is accomplished by the Spirit of God, taking the sword of the Spirit and working conviction in our heart, whether it's a lost person or as a saved person, working conviction in our heart. And without the working of the Holy Spirit, we're really without hope. I mean, as believers, without hope of living the Christian life, of being able to take the Word of God and figure out how to apply it to our own life. But as a lost person, without the working of the Holy Spirit, they're without hope. How important it is that the Holy Spirit is working in a heart. We need to be praying that the Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts. Be praying before services that the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of the lost, would work in the hearts of God's people, that he would do a thorough work in us. The Bible says in Acts 11, verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." The Holy Spirit was with those that were preaching the gospel, and what was the result? A great number believed. Why did they believe? Because God was with them. God was working there in their midst. When Jesus was on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, speaking to those two disciples, and they didn't understand all that he was trying to say, then it says that he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit opens up our hearts so that we can, opens up our understanding so we can figure out what God is trying to tell us. We can be pretty dense sometimes. But when we read God's Word, when we hear God's Word, we can be very, very dense. Look over to Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50. And look at verse number 5. Isaiah 50 and verse number 5, it says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. The Lord God opened mine ear. There you have the work of God working in us, but you also have the work of man. You know, God gives us, God does not make us robots. He does not force us to obey him. He does not force us to do what he wants us to do. We have a free will, and here you see a God working in our heart, opening his ear, and then him not being rebellious. And how often has God opened our ears? We could hear, we could understand what was being preached, but our hearts were rebellious. We chose not to listen to the Word of God. We chose not to apply the Word of God into our hearts, and we went our own way, and the ruin that it wrought in our lives. The destruction, maybe, even that it wrought in our lives. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him." What is that? That's the working of the Holy Spirit within our heart. Paul says, I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. What are those things? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God working in the hearts of men, preparing hearts for his word, and how important it is that we have him doing that, that you have him doing that. Before you come to church, that you have the Holy Spirit working in your heart to prepare you to receive the word of God. But there's also the saints' preparation. If you want to look over to James 1, James chapter 1, not only does the Holy Spirit need to be working in our heart, but as a saved person, we can expect to hear from God if we haven't prepared ourselves. We haven't prepared our own hearts. In James 1, verse 21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We need a sanctified heart. He says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. We can't expect to hear from God if we haven't prepared our own hearts. If we're indulging in sin, why would I expect God to speak to me? How can I expect to have a faithful relationship with God if I'm not even willing to get rid of the sin in my life? If there's known sins in my life that I'm just indulging in. It's not just a small thing here or there, but James describes it here as filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I mean, this is just areas of our life that just are blatantly wrong that we are not taking care of. Listen, we can't expect to hear from God if we're not willing to separate ourselves from some sin. In Psalm 66, verse 18, the psalmist says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We've got to look on sin as God looks on sin. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Do you look at your sin and consider it as filthiness? Or do you see it, well, that's kind of offensive. There's a difference between something that's offensive and something that's filthy. I mean, both are bad. Something could be offensive to you, but something that's filthy to you, you're looking at it differently. I remember reading a book. A friend of mine wrote a book, and one of his chapters, he was dealing with sexual sins, and he was dealing with pornography in one section of a book. And in that book, he was describing how to have victory over not just pornography, but sexual sins. But he kind of used pornography as an example. And he was saying, understand, when you look at that person, when you look at that woman, that's someone's sister. That's someone's mother. That's someone's daughter. And a very good likelihood that they're not there by their choice. That's your neighbor's daughter that's been kidnapped and is in sex trafficking, and you're enjoying your life. You're enjoying her misery. That's someone's daughter that's been hauled off and maybe been away from her family for years. And maybe after that video, she'll be beaten up and not be another video for a few more weeks until she's healed up and then be back on it again. When we consider sins in that light, it ought to cause us even just a filthiness there. How can people enjoy sin? How can we enjoy sin in our life? Do we really view sin as God views sin? James says, listen, you need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Another aspect there of not just a sanctified heart, but a submissive heart, when we're to receive with meekness. You can't expect to hear from God when my mind's made up. I've got my agenda set. God's just going to have to kind of go along with what my schedule is. Now, when we come to God's word, whether reading God's word or hearing God's word, we need to have a meekness to understand, God, I need your help. I don't have things figured out. I don't know the direction I need to go in. I don't have all my T's crossed and my I's dotted. I usually mix those up, and that's kind of how we are in life. I don't have my I's crossed and my T's dotted. That's how we mess up life. We need his guidance, we need his direction, we need his conviction, we need his reproof, and we come hearing the word of God with a meekness that we don't have it all together. If we come with a mindset of, I pretty much have it all together. I hoped maybe to glean a nugget or something maybe tonight, maybe something that I can write down in my Bible, something that I can write down in a notebook, maybe there'll be a cute little poem or something I can write down to remember, but I've pretty much got things set. Listen, if that's your mindset, don't expect to hear from God. Expect maybe to hear maybe something you might consider a good oration and maybe a poem that might stir you, but you can hear lots of poems that stir you that had nothing to do with God speaking to you. As God's children, we need to have our hearts prepared. We consider the sinner's preparation of their heart. How should somebody who is lost prepare their heart? Most often, they don't have any desire to. But if there is an understanding, if the Holy Spirit's already working conviction, there's been times when those that are lost, they want to hear from God. They know they need God's working in their life. They know God's doing something that they're lost, and they want to hear from God. And how ought they to prepare themselves? In Luke 8, verse 15, as Jesus was talking about the parables, the parable of the sower, when he describes the good ground that received the word and brought forth fruit, he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Describes them as having an honest and good heart. We say, well, the lost don't have an honest and good heart. Well, Jesus described them here as having an honest and good heart. So what was he talking about? I mean, no one's good. But here's someone that they consider an honest heart. God's been working in their heart, and they understand they're lost. They understand they deserve God's judgment, and they understand that God is the only one that can help them. And so they're willing to do whatever God wants them to do. They're willing to listen, and there's something within them that makes them understand, I need God. And they want to hear from him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it speaks of those a time period after the rapture, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, and those that had heard the word of God have rejected it in this life, and God sends them a strong delusion. But 2 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse number 9, this is speaking about the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Those in this life that they heard the gospel, I believe they understood the gospel, but they received not the love of the truth. There was not that honest and good heart. They, when the truth was there, they weren't willing to accept it. They weren't willing to consider the idea that they really aren't that good of a person, that they really aren't as spiritual as they believe they are. They weren't willing to accept what God said about themselves. And as a result, they will believe a lie. How important is that we have that preparation? There's that preparation being accomplished in the hearts of people, but we also see a predisposition in the heart that receives the word. Predisposition speaks of the state of the heart when it comes to hear the word. And we consider, again, the Jews back in Acts chapter 17. Paul mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 2, or 1 Thessalonians 2, that the Thessalonians had received the word of God, but that there was affliction, there was persecution associated with the reception. We see that here in Acts 17. We see the Jews which believed not in verse number 5. And they moved with envy and they caused all kinds of problems. They stirred up problems to the point where in verse number 10 it says that the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And it says there in verse number 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So those Jews in Berea had a readiness of mind. The Jews of Thessalonica, the unbelieving Jews, is what this is referring to, did not have a mind to receive the word of God. There was not a readiness there when they approached the word of God. There was already a defense against that. When you come to hear the word of God, or when you open up the word of God, are you coming with a readiness to receive the word of God? Are you coming with a desire to hear the word of God and for God to speak to you? First Peter describes it this way in chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Is that our desire? Is that our predisposition? When we come to the word of God, that there's a desire there, like a baby desires milk. I mean, when a baby desires milk, what's it want? It wants milk. It doesn't care what color bottle it's in. It doesn't care. Maybe it might care if it's ice cold. or warm. There might be some things there, but its desire is for milk. And when we have that desire, the predisposition, when you came here tonight, how was your heart? Were you coming expecting to hear from God? Expecting God to speak to you from His Word and having a desire to hear God from His Word? Or did you come maybe with just a prejudiced attitude? Maybe it came with already some walls up saying, I don't know if I want to listen to this tonight. There needs to be that predisposition. There's also a purpose, if you remember back in Acts 10, purpose in the heart that receives the word of God. Those that receive the word of God, there's a purpose that they've experienced that goes along with predisposition, but we see it in Acts 10, verses 27 through 33, with Cornelius and his household. It says that in verse number 27 that they were all come together. In verse number 29, Peter asked them, for what intent have you sent for me? What was your purpose? What was your intentions for bringing me here? In verse number 33, Cornelius says, "Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." He said, that's our purpose, that's our intent. We are here to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We want to hear what God has to say to us. We want to hear God's commands in all of them, to hear all things, not just the nice things, not just the things that are going to make us happy, but we want to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Here we have a group of people who are gathered together for a single purpose, to hear the message that God had for them, to know what God's message was for them. That was their purpose. That was their intent for being there. What's your intention for being here tonight? What's your intention for coming on a Sunday? When you open up your Bible to read in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day, when you open up your Bible to read, what is your intention? What do you intend to happen from that? Get to check off your box, read your 4 or 5 verses in the Daily Bread. Hopefully that's not only the only Bible reading you have, is what the Daily Bread tells you to read. Check that box off. What is your intention? Do you read it with the intention of hearing from God? Whether or not your box ever gets checked off. Maybe you've got 3 chapters to read before your box gets checked off, but you can't get past the second verse and God is dealing with your heart. You can't do anything. You can't go beyond that because God's working in your heart. And that's all you read that day, is just those 2 verses, and you can't get past it because God's working on you, and you have to deal with what God's dealing with you about. Turn over to Luke chapter 7. Jesus is concerned with our motives when we come to the Word of God. When we come to hear the preaching of God's Word, when we come to open up God's Word to read for ourselves, he's concerned with our motives, our purpose. In Luke 7, we have an interesting account. John the Baptist is in prison. He sends some men to Christ to ask him some questions. You know, are you truly the Messiah? And it's interesting how Jesus deals with them. Almost a rebuke, I think, to John's wavering faith a little bit. But as they're leaving, as the messengers are going back to John, the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled, they live delicately, and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Jesus wanted to know, what was their intention? To see the crazy preacher in the camel's hair eating locusts and honey? And there's been times that I've gone to hear someone preach basically for that kind of a reason, to hear the crazy preacher. I've heard him do certain things, or heard he does this or that. I'm going to go and see what he does. I wasn't going to expecting to hear from God. I was going to expect some crazy guy doing things that he probably shouldn't be doing in the pulpit. There's been times I've gone to hear preaching for that reason. God's concerned about our intentions. When you come to God's house, why do you come? Why do you come? And there's pleasure in the heart of those that receive the Word of God. Their heart's been prepared. They have a predisposition to receive the Word of God. They have a purpose to hear from God. That's their intention. And then when they receive the Word of God, what joy it brings, whether saved or lost, what joy it brings. We see it mentioned in Acts 2, verse 41, that they that gladly received His Word were baptized. The Word brings conviction. It brings reproof. It can bring a fear of punishment. But when we receive the Word of God, even God's convicting us, we've gotten 2 verses into our Bible reading, God's convicting us about sin. But when we receive that, we receive that reproof, we receive that correction, we receive that and repent and change, boy, it brings joy. It brings great joy when we finally receive it. In 1 Thessalonians 1, and verse number 6, it says, "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Lord in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Okay, this is the Thessalonians there in Acts 17 that, yes, some believe. Some of the Jews believe. Some of the chief women believe. Some of the Grecians believe. But there's a lot of Jews that didn't believe, and they stirred up all kinds of trouble and drew out Jason and some of the other chief men and questioned them and took security of them, and persecution arose, and Paul says that they received it in much affliction. A lot of problems associated with them coming to Christ, but he says you also received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. With joy of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, you've experienced that. You experienced that your salvation, but you've experienced that throughout your life as you've read the Word of God and God has dealt with you. And maybe you sat through a preaching service and you sat through it with much affliction, maybe, with how the preacher was preaching or something, but God was working in your heart and God was dealing with you, and when it got through your thick skull and you received that reproof, you received that conviction of sin and there was repentance there, you've experienced that joy of the Holy Ghost, that comfort of the Holy Ghost. You've experienced the comfort of coming in and saying, yes, you've sinned, but your sins are forgiven. You've been restored. You've experienced that. And that comes when we receive the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God preached and God's made it clear, listen, here's some things wrong in your life, here's some things right in your life, and we listen to it, we understand it, but we don't receive it. We don't take that reproof. We get angry. We get upset. We ignore it. How much joy we are missing out on of getting things right and moving on and seeing God do a great work through us, through His Word. What a blessing. Next week, as we look at the second part of that verse, we look at the realization concerning the Word of God as it's preached, that it's not the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, and how that affects us. When we realize that, if we truly realize that, we have the understanding that this is God's Word, then it's going to have a huge effect in our life. Because we can't just disregard it. We can't just dismiss it. If you know that God is telling you something, I mean, you really know that, you can't ignore it. As God's children, you can't ignore that. I mean, you can try, but it's a pretty miserable life. And it doesn't last for long. And we're going to look at that next week and look at the realization concerning the Word of God and our attitude towards that, our actions towards that, and the results of that in our life and how it ought to change our life. And before we close tonight, I'm going to have some time of prayer.